1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
If I get a little bit of a laugh, go to the WorldCom website and take a look at the press release that they have posted on their website for today. And one of the, I shouldn't say a laugh, because I'm sure that the man feels this way. The CEO of the company is a guy named James Sidgemore. He took the job in late April 2002. So a lot like Robert Mueller, I don't know whether you could hang this on him because he's sort of late to the game. The quote is, "I want to assure our customers and employees that the company remains viable and committed to a long-term future. This in the face of reports that it's sliding into bankruptcy, that there will be charges against the company for fraud, that SEC has, I believe the SEC has petitioned the court to ensure that no documents get destroyed." I mean, this is a company that isn't in any shape at all or any position to say anything about its future, it doesn't seem. We're going to bring on right now Robert Greene. He's the former CEO of a company called Nexus Industrial, I should say. And they went through a much the same thing back in the late 1980s. And that was a problem with books. I know that your company filed Chapter 11, Mr. Greene. Your comptroller was arrested. Your CFO was arrested. Basically, they unplugged the shredders. And Mr. Greene has written a rather interesting book called You Can't Take It With You, Tales from the Other Side of Corporate America. We have him on the show to sort of shed some light, if you'll pardon the expression, shed, Mr. Greene.
I can tell you that's a word that's going to be popping in and out of people's minds a lot.
But just to shed some light on the nightmare that is the current scandals on Wall Street.
Well, Phil, as of today, $4 billion WorldCom scandal has erupted, and we need to restore faith, obviously, the American investor, and 17,000 people are going to be out of work on Friday.
That's right. I understand that one of the cost-cutting measures is to take 17,000 people and just put them on the street this coming Friday.
Right. But I want to go through this a little bit with you. I know what they did. They inflated their profits. They lied about the money they were making. We did the same thing in the late 1980s. It was a heady time, the late 1980s. But let me just turn this around a little bit for you and for your listeners. It's a funny thing about life. You get a wife that wants more. You have children that want more. You know, I was in that position.
Well, you knew that your company was over-reporting profits, correct?
Late in the game, I did know that, right.
And you knew that your company was essentially cheating stockholders. You yourself fired, I'm looking at the press release, you let 3,500 employees go in March of 1989, isn't that right?
What I did was wrong, and I'm sorry for that, what happened to those workers, but I want you to picture something. And you can hear the phone that I'm on right now. This is a cordless phone that I picked up at I don't know where it was, a Circuit City. It's not the kind of telephone that a Robert Greene would have used 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago. It's not the kind of telephone that I had in my offices. Today I find myself with very little.
That is a bad telephone.
Well, I'm going to paint a picture for you. I came out of Indiana State with an MBA and a desire to improve myself. I started Nexus International. At one time, we had a United States government contract. I met a woman, my wife. I met her in Atlantic City. She was working one of the buffets there at a hotel. She was in a couple of shows, and I would say this with great respect. She was put together.
You were attracted to her.
I was attracted to her. I married her. We had three kids. We made more money. And here's what happens, and this is what happens to the guys at WorldCom, and this is probably what happened to the guys at Enron. Suddenly now she wants more. A Mercedes isn't enough because there's a guy at the office with a Rolls. A 4-carat ring isn't enough because she wants a 5 or a 6-carat. The kids want to go to a private school, you see? And so,
well, Mr. Greene, if I can interrupt you, okay, and if can I call you Robert?
Call me Bob if you'd like.
All right, Bob. This is all about your life. I want to get into the particulars of the manipulation of books, the cooking of books.
No, but I'm telling you, this is really the heart and soul of what happened at WorldCom. You get kids that want to go to a private school. You got a 5,000 square foot home. Now it's got to be 10. Now it's got to be 14. You got a summer home. You got an apartment in New York. And you get to the point where you pull yourself through your door at night and you want to put your fingers in your ear because here she goes again. You see what I'm saying?
And I know, in other words, she's making demands, the family's making demands.
That is correct. Today, Phil, in the year 2002, I've got health problems. I have a duodenal ulcer. I've got sciatica, which hurts like a son of a bitch, if you'll pardon my language. Ask my wife if she cares. No, she doesn't care. She cares if a pool, if the pool house is built. So while you want to crucify the guys at the top,
Well, wait a minute. All right, I'm going to give her a number out. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about WorldCom with Robert Green, a former CEO of a company that went through similar problems. Your company is gone now, right?
I've got nothing now. My company is gone. I'm on a book tour. I got a wife. And again, I still got the same wife, and she still wants more.
Are you telling me that WorldCom, that Enron, that Adelphia, that Tyco, that all of these companies went belly up because they're CEOs that had wives and kids that wanted more?
I am saying to you something that I'm hoping your listeners can appreciate.
What about the 17,000 guys that are on the street this coming Friday? What about the 3,500 people that you put on the street in 1989?
Phil, that is typical of the American public. They always want to look at the workers, the line workers. These are good people, but the fact is they're a little bit like gypsies. They don't have any...
All right, well, see, now that, to me, is an insult.
What is?
To call these 17,000 people will be on the street on Friday because of some guy cooking the books, because you're telling me that his wife wanted a bigger diamond ring.
When I reluctantly let 3,500 people go back in 1989, I found out that these people could go across the street and get another job. Do you think any of them want to have a cup of coffee with me now? Do you think that there's loyalty now?
You fired them.
No, but I had no choice. I had a business that was no longer mine. It was an animal I was trying to control. It isn't me. It was Tom Perica, who was our business manager. It was Marianne Compton, who was our internal accountant. They had their hands in my pockets. And
correct me if I am wrong. You seem to be putting the focus on the pain that's being felt by the guys at the top.
Once the hive is, like bees, once the hive is finished on a tree, the bees go on to the next without turning back. What happens to me? What happens to the guys at Enron? I'm going to tell you a little story, Phil.
No, but you're putting the focus on the pain that...
Because there is real pain at the top. Because the guy who gets fired on Friday, that line worker, that assembly guy, he goes over to AT&T, he's going to go over to Verizon, he's going to go over to Pac Bell, he'll do what he has to do. What happens to me? Let me tell you what happened to me. The day I got the word that this man, and I just saying the guy's name makes me want to vomit, this guy, Sullivan, who was cooking our books, I went into my office, I closed the door, I took a bottle of brandy out of the desk, I poured myself a drink, and I pulled out of a leather valise that I had in a filing cabinet behind me, and I pulled out of that leather valise a Ruger Red Hawk. That's a .454.
That's a firearm.
That's a gun. Yes, sir, it is. I put the gun on my desk. I called my wife. And, of course, the first thing I'm hearing from her is, I'll never forget it, did you change the reservations for Mexico and all of this? And I just hung the phone up on her. And I thought about putting the barrel of that to my head. And I'll tell you one of the things, if you want to hear a funny story, I've got a Degas print in my office that was right behind my desk. And as crazy as this sounds, I thought, if I blow my brains out, half of them are going to go all over a print that's worth about $8,000. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not giving her the satisfaction, and I'm not giving those kids the satisfaction. So I pressed on. And I don't doubt that that's going on at WorldCom right now. You got a lot of guys and a lot of offices, and nobody hears them weep. No one hears the screams coming from those offices, the screams of agony. And nobody rushes into those offices to make sure that they don't have a Luger, a Ruger, a Glock, a 9mm, a Red Hawk, anything sitting on that desk, waiting for them to pull the trigger and send their brains right out onto the street. Now, for me...
All right, I don't want to interrupt you, but you're telling me...
That is the silent pain that goes on in these CEOs' lives at an epidemic level, and you want me to sit here and start feeling bad about 16,000 guys are going to hit the bricks and go across the street to Verizon on Monday? I'm sorry, I can't do that.
So, in other words, what's happened at WorldCom, the real tragedy is the CEOs that are...
You got a comptroller and you got a CFO that are on the street. Those guys are probably going to be in a jail cell if they don't pick up anything, a small caliber.
All right, well, let's forget about whether they're going to blow their brains out.
But it's a high possibility.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking to Robert Green, who is telling us a story of how he contemplated suicide the day he found out that the books at his company had been cooked. And we are, of course, talking about WorldCom. But you keep going back to the poor CEOs, but the workers, the guys are going to be on the street.
Well, there you go again.
Yeah, but
by the way, you're doing it again. You're going back to these 17,000 guys. What about them?
17,000 people will be on the street.
I almost put what's left of my brains all over an $8,000 Degas. You understand what I'm saying? I almost shot myself.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Robert Green, former CEO of a company that went belly up back in the 80s because of cooking the books. I don't know if you know what happened at WorldCom today, but they have reported that they cooked up about $4 billion worth of profits that just simply don't exist. They actually lost money last year and in the first quarter of this year. They're in deep, deep trouble. The people that I care about are the 17,000 men and women that will be hitting the bricks on Friday as a result of, quote, cost-cutting to help save the company. But I'm hearing Mr. Green here talking about him putting his brains on a print he bought in Spain with his wife. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You, Bob, Robert Green with me, whose company went through much what WorldCom's gone through. Do you have a distaste for workers?
No, I do not, Mr. Hendry. Please don't characterize it that way.
We're talking about 17,000 guys that might hit the bricks on Friday, and you're talking about the time you almost blew your brains out.
Well, you know something? I happen to be an individual who creates jobs. I'm a guy who goes and creates a business, and then I got people hanging all over me wanting work. They want to get promotions. They want this and they want that. And then some guy cooks the books on me, and I'm alone in the office with my Red Hawk 454. Did anybody come in and try to take the gun away from me? No. That's what I'm saying. That's what's going on at WorldCom right now. The CEO of that company, John Sidgemore?
Mr. Sidgemore.
Let me tell you something. They find him tomorrow morning with a barrel of a Magnum in his mouth and the back of his head missing. What are you going to think then?
I'm going to think that the guy went through some pretty tough times, and I'm going to think that the man was a victim of circumstance, and I'm going to think it was a tragedy, but I'm also going to be mindful of the many, many of us.
Oh, come on.
No. I'm going to be mindful of the many, many of us who still have to work and press on and help this country grow. 1-800-449-8686.
That's not a lot of storybook stuff.
No, sir, I don't think it is. Here's Art. Go ahead, Art.
The 17,000 folks getting laid off, they're not getting golden parachutes, a couple million dollars a pop to make the transition a little bit easier.
Golden parachute? The guy's been arrested. What do you mean golden parachute?
If you can't do the time, don't do the crime. That's the basic concept.
Well,
there, buddy.
That may be true, but see, I didn't do any crime, and I'm sitting here, and the company's bankrupt.
Hey, if you can't manage your chip, then, you get what you pay for.
All right, well, and if it just so happens that we got to put 17,000 guys on the street, tough luck for them.
Hey.
Yeah.
They got to put food in their kids' mouths. They don't have $4 million to go and, worry about getting a job.
Well, it's too bad.
Wait a minute. What do you mean it's too bad?
Yeah, it's too bad. Where do you work?
What do you mean it's too bad?
Well, he doesn't show any sympathy for me.
Why should I?
I almost blew the back of my head all over an $8,000 print.
Yeah, of a Degas from Spain.
Yes, sir. And you don't feel no sympathy for me?
Not in the least.
These 17,000 grunts are going to do just fine. What about me? And that's what nobody thinks about.
All right, Art.
Well,
I think, Art, you're saying what a lot of people are feeling right now.
You know, Mr. Hendry, if you get off that working class hero kick for a minute and listen to what I'm saying, what about me? And what about all the guys there in the offices at WorldCom and Enron and Tyco and
their brains going all over their offices?
That's right.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Teresa on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Teresa.
Yeah, I want to ask him, wasn't he aware when his wife was demanding that ring that he was buying for her that maybe the company was using money wrong?
No. No, I wasn't.
Got to turn your radio down, Teresa.
Okay, I'm sorry. But, I mean, this guy's ridiculous.
Okay. Did you know anything about business?
It was your company.
Do you know anything about
a break?
No, but I didn't. I got a guy working for me, cooking the books like Martha Stewart cooks a cake.
Well, as CEO of the company, it's your
turn
job.
Your radio down, Teresa.
My daughter turned it up.
Turn it down.
I did.
All right.
As CEO of the company,
so you don't even know
it's your
your
job
radio
to watch
down
those books.
Huh? What'd you say?
You make me sick. Take that gun and put it in your mouth and do yourself a favor.
Oh, yeah. You want me to kill? Why don't all those 17,000 guys kill themselves? We're the guys that give them the jobs.
No, we're the ones that work our ass off and sweat so that you can buy the 6-8 carat diamond ring for your wife.
Teresa, let me ask something. Can you hear the phone?
And you just, we just got to walk across the street. You know what? Take the gun and do yourself a favor. Forget the picture. Do your wife a favor.
Listen to the phone that I'm on right now. Listen to that. That's the cheap garbage Sports Illustrated phone that I got to use now because I'm on my rear end with nothing.
You're on a book tour. Oh, I'm so upset for you.
Yes,
I'm feeding three kids, okay? I don't have the 8-carat diamond ring. I work for a living.
Well, that's
don't
a good
live
point.
Off the sweat of other people.
Teresa's making a good point. You're on a book tour right now.
All right, so a publisher's paying my rent. They're not putting me up at the Ritz.
But you're hurting so much. I'm so much pity of you right now, I'll tell you. I'm just crying.
I want to ask you, and I think it's a fair question. If James Stitchmore, the CEO of WorldCom, they find him tomorrow, okay?
They're all wrong, just like you were, okay? You knew the pool house was costing something. You knew the diamond ring was costing something. You knew the portrait was costing something. You didn't think that was coming out of the mouths of the people that you should have been giving raises to? And promotions and pats on the back? Don't even patronize me with your ignorance, all right? You are an ignorant man. That is why your company went under. You are ignorant, all right? I have nothing more to say on this subject.
I can see why you feel that way, but you don't understand how business is done.
I've been managing restaurants and businesses all my life. Yes, I know how it's done. The greedy people at top, the people on the bottom. So shut up and pull the trigger.
I got a wife who won't let me. Listen to the phone I'm on, Mr. Henry, is what I'm saying, okay?
You're on a book tour, and you're at...
Listen to this. This is the garbage pit Time Life cell phone I got. Because I got nothing. And the reason why I got nothing is I trusted Jack Tembry, who is the CFO of my company, who is a lying dog, and is doing time right now for what he did. And
did you or did you not know what was going on with the books at your company?
Okay, well, how do you want me to answer that?
With a simple yes or no would be nice.
It's more than that. Did I know? Do you know if God exists?
Mr. Green, I'm not going to have you patronize me. Did you know that...
Sir, I'm not trying to patronize you.
All right, did you know that the books were getting cooked at your company and that you'd have to put 3,500 guys on the street?
I don't think it's a fair question. I'm not going to dignify it with an answer.
That's not a question that calls in a... That's, what do you mean dignify it with an answer? I'm asking for the truth.
I knew... This guy was my brother-in-law, number one, okay? That's the big problem you get into. My wife's working a shellfish buffet, and the next thing I know, I'm bringing in this brother-in-law of hers that was a croupier in Atlantic City.
As your CFO?
Yes.
And this is supposed to be somebody else's problem.
Let me tell you something. If you've seen my wife, she is put together like you would... Can I just be honest with you?
I don't care how put together your wife is. You're hiring her brother-in-law. You see what I'm saying? The guy was a croupier in Atlantic City. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Make more bread being a croupier in Atlantic City than you do anything else. We're talking with Robert Green, a man whose company went belly up in much the same way WorldCom went belly up. He had a hand in firing 3,500 guys. On Friday, 17,000 will be on the street. And he says, don't feel for the workers, feel for the poor CEOs who could kill themselves. He almost did. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Mr. Green, I'm going to keep hitting this. The 17,000 guys.
Oh, here we go.
No, just listen. The 17,000 men and women that will be on the bricks on Friday because of this WorldCom debacle. The 3,500 employees that you yourself fired in the March of 1989 because somebody cooked the books. What about those people?
Let me tell you about the 17,000 that you want to bleed the crocodile tears for. These people go off, they get off the job at 5 o'clock, they go have a beer, they got another job. This is a small world that they live in. We're talking, these workers don't need the amount of money I need to maintain a lifestyle that at one time in 1991, I owned a Rolls Royce that had been owned by John Lennon. Now that is an investment, and I don't have that anymore. And you want me to start feeling bad about a guy who gets off the assembly line, goes across the street to some steak and brew, sits down with a couple of buddies and says, what's happening at Verizon? He's in a truck. He's up on a line on Monday morning. And a Rolls Royce that John Lennon owned, I had to dump in 1991 because of the brother-in-law, which I'm going to go number one on him. And, I think about the things that I lost in my life. And you can hear the... Again, hear this crap phone that I'm on.
Why don't you get the publishing company that's got you on the World Book Tour or whatever?
Mr. Henry, it's a tour of the West Coast and the Southeast.
Well, get them to buy you a cell phone.
Yeah, sure. Okay, I'll give you the number of Reagan books. You call you call Judith Reagan and have her get me a new cell phone.
1-800-449-8686. Maria, go ahead. Maria, go ahead.
Mr. Green, all I hear from you is, poor me, poor me, poor me. I have a crappy cell phone. I almost blew my brains out on a frickin' $8,000 Degas painting. Had to turn in that poor little Rolls Royce that John Lennon used to own. What about the 3,500 people you put on alert because you say you didn't know what was going on in
your book? Wait. Apparently you don't hear too good. I said that they can get off the line and go to work for Verizon come Monday morning. What do they care?
Did you ever hear of Ivan Boesky?
What's up, ma'am?
Did you ever hear of Ivan Boesky?
Yeah, he was a real slime ball. He got thrown into prison in the 80s.
Yep.
Yeah,
I
about
used
the
to
same...
work for his CEO. His CFO, excuse me. I used to work for his CFO. Lost his job with Ivan Boesky. He's a wealthy man because he was honest. He admitted his mistakes. He started a new company, and he ran his life and employed a lot of people because he couldn't find a job. So you can't earn enough money to support your lifestyle?
Oh, I see.
You know what? I have a hard time.
Maria, yeah, I find it really coincidental that the one guy you worked for Ivan Boesky, just happened to be the honest one. Yeah, sure.
I didn't say he was honest when he did it. I say he knew what was going on in those books. And I say he was guilty.
How am I supposed to know?
An honest business after that. I'm saying you're guilty.
I'm guilty.
I'm saying that you knew what was going on in your books.
I knew what was going on. My wife's brother-in-law.
On you.
My wife's brother-in-law, who to this day I believe was mobbed up anyway, she brings him into my company. What am I supposed to do? Kick him out? This is a guy. He's got a neck like a tree trunk. He hangs around with guys that are dealing ecstasy.
You got this guy in your company? How could you hire a man like this?
He's stealing crack down here at one of these dance joints.
And he's the CFO?
Yes, sir.
Everybody has blamed. You've blamed everybody. You've blamed your wife because she wants too much. You've blamed your kids because they need too much. You blame this brother-in-law because you have no choice because he's family. You're
Maria, please watch your language, okay?
Yeah, see, this is what I'm talking about. These people, they come off the line at 5 o'clock and it's F this and F that, and you're an F in this. 17,000 people with nothing but F on their mouths is going to be out of a job. I almost blew my brains all over a painting that today could be worth in excess of $100,000.
Then perhaps maybe you should have blown your brains out.
Oh, really? And how much you think that the God be worth today with my brains all over it?
You know what? How important was that painting? Why did you have to spend that much money on a painting? You weren't spending all that money on things
exactly.
Like that. Perhaps you would have a business
take that money
to go to work for.
Yeah, take that money and reinvest it in people. Reinvest it into equipment. Create more jobs with it.
Well, now listen to that. And she's screaming at me, and I got the Time Life phone. I got a phone that's shaped like a shoe. cheek.
At least you have a cell phone.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you got a very good one either.
No, I'm not.
All right, listen, Maria, thank you for your call. I think you made some very good points. 1-800...
I wanted to interrupt here.
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Robert Greene, who was involved in much the same scandal that WorldCom is involved in now...
Yeah, this is what I want to say, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
What part of the show, when does it happen that you start getting my back a little bit?
I'm sorry?
At what point in the show do you start catching my back and stop with your... Yeah, that was a really nice comment, Maria. Good going, Charlie. When do you stop doing that?
I don't stop. Mr. Greene, you understand something. I am here...
You're here to get the truth.
Yeah.
Well, then when do you start catching my back? Now, you've heard about the...
You've mentioned a Rolls-Royce that belonged to John Lennon.
I owned that at one time. Then this Guido, that is the brother-in-law and my wife's brother, this guy cooks up the books. They bust me out.
1-800-449-8686. Perry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, you know what, bud? You are a moron. You need to take a seat back behind that desk. Take a seat back behind that desk and that gun and think about it a little bit longer.
You ever been a CEO of a company, sir?
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact.
I doubt it.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? There shows your amount of intelligence.
Well, what was your line of work?
I'll tell you what.
What was your line of work?
If it would have been ran correctly in the first place, the idiot wouldn't have had to cook the books to show a profit. And obviously, you don't know enough about management nor taking care of people to run a company so they will work for you and produce.
How come nobody ever blames
why,
the workers?
Cook the books because you don't know how to run a company.
You got all the answers. How come you're not a CEO anymore?
Because I choose to do what I like, not what I have to make money.
Let me ask you something. How come nobody ever blames the workers?
How come nobody ever blames the workers?
Right.
Because the workers do what they're told to do under the management style. You have no style.
Well, you know what? I don't think you were ever a CEO either. And if you were,
you know what?
Toys R Us is no longer
If you could think longer than you could hold your weenie, then you obviously wouldn't be out of business right now, would you?
And you'd know about holding weenies how?
Because I've got...
Listen, go ahead and laugh while I got the crap phone.
Can you hang that up or something?
Hold on for a minute. I'm walking closer to the base.
Yeah, that's good. Congratulations, Mr. Greene, on your book tour. The book is called, I had the name here.
You can't take it with you, Tales from the Other Side of Corporate America.
Right, you can't take it with you, Tales from the Other Side of Corporate America. And you talk about how you, lost your job. And do you have any money now? Have you made a comeback?
No, I have not. I haven't made any kind of a comeback. And by the way, I haven't sold one book. So thank you for that, too.
It's not my fault, sir.
Yeah.
1-800-449-8686. Well, there you go. Just one view of what's going on in America right now. And that was Robert Greene, who said that he sat there after he found out that the books had been cooked in his company and almost blew his brains out. He almost shot himself all over an $8,000 painting. And he's glad he didn't, because how much would it be worth now with his brains on it? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Speaking of the stock market, Vernon Dozier was on our program yesterday to say that Martha Stewart and all of her stuff has just turned his home into a gay playpen. Here it is.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
When all this baby bull crying about I'm so insecure in my manhood, it's draining my manhood. I mean, if Martha Stewart drains your manhood, you have no manhood to drain.
All right, hold on. I listen to you, Johnny, and I appreciate what you're saying. But you got to understand what it's like. I don't know how long your wife's been watching Martha Stewart. But
for about 10 years.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. Has your wife ever floated a candle in a punch bowl?
Yes, she has.
Oh,
and
come
we made
on.
Passionate
no.
love after that.
No, bull crap. I can't
No, you're full, you are full of crap.
How do you think?
You need to cut your mother's apron strings and grow up.
You're telling me that your wife floated candles in a punch bowl and you made passionate love after that.
I sure did. Probably conceived my son. I mean, my God, man, come on.
I was watching a
You were probably watching some... I think
no,
you're
no,
gay.
Listen to this. I'm not gay.
I think you are.
Yeah, why? Hey,
because,
I was watching a Savannah porn
movie.
Because
you are intimidated by Martha Stewart.
I'm not intimidated by Martha Stewart. I'm intimidated by
my wife that woman you hurt.
Let me ask you a question. I'm watching a Savannah porn movie, and you know who Savannah is.
Yeah, I know who Savannah is.
As soon as I smelled my wife's gingerbread cookies, the chubby goes away like a squirrel down a hole. Now, how do you figure that?
How do you figure what?
I think you're gay.
I'm not, my wife is
you need to be watching John Holmes is what you need
hey,
to
let
be
me
watching.
Tell you hey, pal, Martha Stewart's trying to make me gay, and she's trying to do the same thing to you. And
no,
if you
she's
had a,
not.
No,
but
she's
what
not.
Thing is
you're
this?
Telling me that you got candles floating in a punch bowl, and you're not, and you don't see that as being gay?
Hell no, my wife put them in there. It helped her get into the mood, not me. My wife puts me in the mood, so if she is passionate, then I am passionate. You, I don't know what your damn hang-up is. I mean, you got some mental issues, but you're hung up in denial.
I'm not in denial. Look, I don't like guys,
yes,
okay?
Yes, you are. No, you are in denial. I'll tell you what. I think I know why you're a football coach, and your players need to be worried.
So you're taking it personally now. You're taking it personally, aren't you, Johnny? Because
no, I'm not taking it personal.
Yeah,
I think you are wasting everybody's time by calling the show and whining like some baby.
I think you're right, Johnny.
Oh, I think you're right, Johnny. So the host is now agreeing with...
Look, I put your call on the air, okay?
The host is a man.
You are
a mouse.
You know something? When your wife starts saving snowballs so that she can create ice sculptures, you give me a call. And tell me if you're able to...
I don't have to worry about that. I live in the South where men are men. I have no idea where you're from.
Excuse me, and I don't mean any offense by
this,
but I saw a movie called Deliverance, and I don't think...
Exactly.
Yeah,
it was filmed in Tennessee on the Atoy River.
That's down south as far as I know.
Actually, it's not. It's in Tennessee.
Oh, that ain't the South?
No, not as far as I'm concerned. South is... Louisiana, Texas, you know, Georgia. How about them Georgia people?
And there's no guy smoking pole down there.
Where,
give me a break.
Where are
okay,
you
look
from?
At,
I come from California. I come from California. And I'm going
to
tell you this.
See,
every shoebox and empty tin can has been decked.
Look, you call me gay.
You call me gay one more time, and I'll get my truck warmed up. And I'm on my way down to whatever garbage pit you live in, down there in Cracker Barrel,
now you're taking it personally, exactly. Right,
you're taking it personally.
Okay, but this guy, how can you say men will be men when even the possums are afraid when your boys walk up, okay?
See, there you go, now you're showing your true educational value right
I'll
there.
Be gay, and I will slap you into submission.
All right.
I'm going to tell you, that doesn't even warrant a reply. You are simply a loser.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, so that's the flashback from yesterday. It was Vernon. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, where I do some of the voices of the different characters that come on here. Like, that was me doing Vernon, and that was me doing the voice there of Bob Green, the CEO of Nexus Industrial. Did that company exist? What difference does it make? WorldCom exists, that's all we need to know. And this is the new American capitalist. This is a guy who is intent on making enough money so he keeps the Rolls Royce in the garage or whatever fat cat car these guys are driving. You know, we live in a country now where everybody essentially is either wealthy or on their way to being wealthy, you know, or is really poor. I mean, that's where it is today. Or maybe I got a skewed version of how life really is. But, man, everybody's got a... You remember when it was special to own a BMW and now everyone drives a BMW? Well, a Mercedes, forget it. Now Mercedes makes a car. They make like a $15,000 Mercedes. And the same thing with Jaguar. And Rolls-Royce is going to start coming out with a subcompact and Cadillac. And it's because everybody either wants to be wealthy or they want to have the appearance of wealth. And it turns into a... it turns into a race. It turns into who can stack more chips on the table. So when, you know, you hear Bob Greene say, I had all this pressure to get ahead in terms of my things, the material things that I had, I bet you it's not far from the truth. Why else do people do illegal things with money? They got to have more. And why do they got to have more money? They got to have more things. And why do they got to have more things? Because the guy across the street got a better thing than he did. So now he's got to have a better thing. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen people be depressed over the fact they got an S600 series sedan and a guy over here's got a Silver Star. What do they call a Rolls Royce? Silver Cloud. A Silver Spur? Silver thing? Yeah, it's silver. They got a silver thing. And people get upset because their house is only 5,000 square feet and Charlie just put an addition so he's got 7,000 square feet. And one guy's pool is bigger than another guy's pool. People have pool envy, house envy, pool table envy, wife envy. This is a society, ladies and gentlemen. This is a country, ladies and gentlemen, that's bereft of spirituality. It's all about things. I don't mind. I don't mind. You can do it. You can make any money you want. You can do anything you want. But when you put 17,000 people out on the bricks, that's a little rough. That's just a little rough. And I read this press release from WorldCom. I want to assure our customers and employees that the company remains viable and committed to a long-term future. 17,000 people. How big is this company? Maybe, I don't know, maybe 17,000 is a drop in the bucket in terms of how many people they employ. But it seems like a hell of a lot of people. And of course, what he really wants to say is, I want to assure our stockholders that they can be rest assured that someday, long time from now, many years from now, when I'm dead, maybe the stock will come back on this thing, but not in my lifetime. Who's this guy kidding? This guy says, I want to assure that our customers and employees, the company remains viable. They got the SEC breathing down their neck. They got everybody with they're going to have a forensic audit up their rear end like they've never seen before in their lives. People are going to jail. They're subpoenaing records. There's 17,000 guys on the brick. And here comes Charlie with, and I'd like to assure the customers and employees that the company remains viable. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get something that sounds like this. Here you go. Where's the dial tone? Well, you know what it sounds. You know what a dial tone sounds like. I was trying to use a real one, but apparently the equipment that we have here doesn't facilitate that. 1-800-449-8686. So it's all about that bread, baby. You got to get that money. Get it, earn it, steal it, rob it, but get it, all right? Just have it in your pocket, just, you know, so you can spend it in any direction that you can. With money, who needs God? That's the new marching orders of the Phil Hendry Show. When you've got plenty of... There. That's what you're going to be hearing, all of you WorldCom clowns out there. If you got bread, you don't need Jesus, huh? 1-800-449-8686. Speaking of bread, buy my new Jay Santos t-shirt.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I saw something bug me today. I saw that whole Pledge of Allegiance thing. I guess you've been hearing about it, and I'm sure there's many people screaming about it. I like the Pledge of Allegiance, and if it means that we can't have it because that under God thing is in there, get it out of there, will you please? Can we just back away from that for 5 seconds? Can we just back away from the God thing for 5 lousy seconds? I'm not saying people shouldn't go to church. I'm not saying that people shouldn't go to the mosque. Let me include that. Just so you know that we're very egalitarian around here. And the synagogue, and the temple, and the dungeon, and wherever else you worship. Your closet, your meditation altar, your Buddhistan, wherever it is that you like to worship the God of your choice or your parents' choice, please feel free at a local temple this weekend. But can we just back off of God for 14 lousy seconds so that we can get the old, good old Pledge of Allegiance back up there in a classroom where maybe it ought to belong? And is this coming from some crazy-ass conservative talk show host, another one in the long line that we've had recently? No, this is just Phil, the guy who does the funny voices. But may I say this? See, school is school. And the reason why I say school is school, a lot of people don't know what school is anymore. They don't know what is school. I take my kids there. I don't know what it is. Well, here's what it is, Charlie. Let me just help you out. You put the kid there, and you go, "Hi, Becky Sue, how are you?" Great. Now, I tell you what. Here's going to be some math and history and a whole bunch of crap, and we're going to lay it on you. And then, when you're 18, you can go out into the world and you can hook for a living for all we care, but at least you got the basics of how to be a decent human being and how to bathe once a day. Do you get it? I don't know. You come from a rotten home. I'm sorry about that. I can't do anything about it. But you come into the school here, we're going to lay a bunch of stuff on you. It's called teaching the kid. Now, there's another thing that you teach a kid. This may come as a shock, or maybe not. You teach a kid something called, "I live in America." Now, you don't have to love America. You can live here, and you can make all your money, and you can crap all over the place, just like so many people like to do, because as we all know, America's a free enterprise zone. Well, we just had Martina Navratilova weighing in on that one. She says she just can't stand how everything's about money over here. Well, she's made quite a bit, and I agree with her. I totally agree with her. I totally agree with Martina. I don't like her. I didn't like her when she played tennis. I don't particularly like dykes. But the fact is, I'm joking, of course. I've hired many. No, I don't happen to like anybody who treats my country as a free enterprise zone where we come here, make a ton of dough, buy a house, live, but the whole idea that this is actually a country with a history and with a tradition and with a legacy and with people that, yeah, that's right, we'll go down this cornball road, people who actually died for it. I don't like anybody that comes here and isn't aware of that. I just don't like it. What do you think of that? Does that make me a xenophobe? No, it doesn't. Because I don't care if you're black, pink, green, brown, all of those other cliches. I like them all, man. There have been black people who've died for this country. As a matter of fact, most black people in this country have family that goes back further than most white people. So it's got nothing to do with race. Never has anything to do with race as far as I'm concerned. What it's got to do with is the fact that I happen to like this place, and maybe I've changed since 9/11. Maybe I have. Maybe I've got the ability to change. Maybe I'm proud of that. Maybe I just have my eyes a little bit more open these days, and I look around and I go, you know, this is a pretty good place, and without this place, I don't know where the hell else we're going to live. Where do you want to go? Who's done it better? Go ahead. Think of one country, one civilization, one society that's done it better. Nobody. So I got a place here, it's called America. And when I put my kid in the school, I say, I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. Now, somebody had to shove God into that. Now we got a big problem. Ever since 1954, we got this problem under God. Well, guess what? Whether you want to believe it or not, I don't care if you think it was founded on Judeo-Christian. I don't want to hear about it anymore because you're wrong. You've always been wrong, and you're always going to be wrong. George Washington himself said that it was a dangerous thing to keep harping on this Christian thing because ultimately America is a country about people, and it isn't necessarily about religion. It is about a separation of church and state. And if we could just get these church cats out of our grill for about 13 seconds, you can go back into the church and do what you want, then maybe we'd have ourselves a Pledge of Allegiance in the classroom where I would like my kids to say it. Okay, I want my kids to say, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America." It doesn't mean the kid's going to become a John Bircher. It doesn't mean he's picking up a rifle and going out and killing every towel wrapper he sees. It means he knows where he lives, and he appreciates where he lives. Now, when he turns 18, he can go out into the world and be any scumbag that he wants to be. Fact of the matter is, if he breaks the laws and he doesn't pay his taxes, then he's on the outs, and then we got to stick him in the can. So there's certain things that are required of all of us, whether you like it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you think you're smarter than that or not, there's certain things you got to do, Charlie. You got to pay your taxes, you got to obey the laws. Then you can open your big fat trap and say anything you want. But while you're a kid, you're a kid. You're not 18 yet. You're in a classroom, and you sit down, you shut up, and you listen to what the man's got to say. And why is that? Because you're a kid. It's like I tell my kids, when you're 18, man, you can go out and, baby, you can do it. Do it in every direction you want to do it. Can't come back here and do it in any direction you want. If you do, of course, then you're like 12 again. But if you want to go out there and sing it and swing it and dance it and hoof it and smoke it, do it, brah. But when you're a kid, you go into a school, you learn this, you learn that, and oh yeah, you learn a little something else. You happen to be the citizen of a country that's pretty special, and this is the flag. And you should take pride in that because your ancestors and your family and everybody else worked to make this place that we call America. This joint didn't just pop up yesterday so Navratilova and everybody else could come over here and start siphoning money. This place has a history and a legacy and a tradition. It has a culture. It has people. It has workers. It has a landscape and a horizon. It's got highways and farms and villages and cities. It has poets and it's got writers and it's got artists and it's got ball players. It's got doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs. This is a pretty different place called America. I want my kid to know that. And if it means you pull under God out of that pledge, then get it out of there. And let's take a chill and a religion thing for 14 seconds. Because listen to this. I got people saying, well, you know, religion is gone in America. And every time I drive down a street, there's a church. Everywhere I go, I see churches. Everywhere I go, I see a synagogue. Every time I turn around, every time I'm going out to West L.A., I'm driving by the Mormon Tabernacle out there on Santa Monica that looks like the Taj Mahal. There's mosques. There's temples. Every time you turn around, the Congress of the United States starts with a prayer. It says, under God on the money. I got Jerry Falwell till I can't take it any longer. Every time I turn on the TV, there's Gene Scott, there's Jerry, there's somebody telling me what a pile of crap that I am. And if I only believed in Jesus, Muhammad, or some other son of a bitch, I'd be just fantastic. We got religion until we can't freaking see straight anymore. All I'm asking about is take it out of that pledge so that my kid can say this wonderful thing. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Can you dig it? What's wrong with that? I guess my money's unconstitutional now because it's got under God on it. I want that off of there too. Everybody's got an axe to grind, and everybody's got five different directions they want to go in. They want to go here, they want to go there, they want to go there, they want to go there. You know what? There comes a time when you got to kind of pull it together and say, yeah, but you know what? Without this place called America, where are you going to be? Huh? Where are you going to be, man? Well, you know, America's got a lot of problems, and the racism, and the, yeah, oh, really? Oh, you have a lot of racism? Yeah, and the sexism. Yeah, you know, okay. Who's doing it better? Well, it's not that simple, Mr. Henry. We could have done it if it hadn't been for America, we'd still be walking around, you know, with bells around lepers' necks. That's what we'd be doing. If it wasn't for this country, there'd still be guys in ox carts out there. Oh, that's very ethnocentric of you, isn't it? And no, it's a fact. What about the sex? Look at a couple of guys got together. This is the first time in a history, you know, to me the pledge is like a prayer. What's wrong with pledging allegiance to a country that introduced the concept of the equality of men? Now, you say, oh yeah, but that was bullcrap because the blacks and the women didn't have the vote. Well, excuse me, because we couldn't evolve quite quick enough for everybody. Some dumbass with a powdered wig said, men are created equal and there ain't no kings. And some guy said, well, you got to be nuts with that because we got to have a king. No, we don't have to have a king. We're going to have a president. What the hell is that? Well, I'll show you. It's the guy there with the wooden teeth. We're going to stick him in. And, well, this equality for, what do you mean equality? You don't mean the blacks. No. We won't have the blacks and not the women. No. But, you know. Well, and the blacks and the women started to scream, and okay, so then we'll have that too. All right, the women and the blacks can get it. It's an evolution, people. It's an evolution like the whole race is an evolution. See, one time we were apes in a cave, and we walked out of the cave, and we looked at the sun, and the first thing we thought to do was worship it. We didn't know what the hell it was. What do you think, a guy pulled out a test tube? Are you going to call those monkeys dumb? I guess you're going to call them a bunch of dumbasses, because the first thing they did when they looked at the sun was, you know, worship it and create altars to it. Oh, boy, what a bunch of dumbasses they were. They were us. We was them. So that guy finally figured out, no, wait a minute, that isn't a god, that the earth goes around it. Well, what did they do with that guy? Well, what all humans do with people that have forward-thinking ideas, they burned him at the stake. But, of course, we evolved and we got past that burning at the stake thing. And finally, a guy said, you know, the sun is kind of a fixed point in the sky and we are around. Well, can you prove it? Well, no, but here is the mathematical equation that leads to that. And a whole bunch of other guys wanted to kick ass on that until finally we now accept, finally, that science says the sun's a fixed point in the sky. Now along comes a guy named Darwin. Oh, Jesus, that opened up a whole kettle of fish, didn't it? Because he said maybe we evolved from an ape. Well, now you can't have that because that goes against this cat god. See, creationism, well, I don't even want to go there. All I'm saying is put that freaking pledge back in there, okay? Now, I know that the Supreme Court, they're good people, and they're interpreting the Constitution. That's what their job is. Most people couldn't tell you what the Supreme Court does if you put a torch to their feet. But the fact is, their job is to interpret the Constitution. So they interpreted it. And they said, as long as under God is in there, it happens to be a religious pledge. And you want to know something? They may be right. I don't know. They've been wrong before. In 1895, Plessy versus Ferguson said that separate but equal was constitutional. You could put blacks in a different railroad car from whites, and that was a constitutional thing. 1954 came along, Brown versus the Board of Education. They said, no, that's bullcrap. It was a new Supreme Court. It was a new society. Now here we are with a pledge is unconstitutional. It probably is, but I'd love to see them just pull that under God out of there so for once in our lives we can sit there and be proud of our country, and it hasn't got anything to do with God, being a Republican or being a Democrat. You could take every Republican, Democrat, and Libertarian and stick them in a hole for all I care, especially the Libertarians, for all the mail I get from them. I don't care. I'm an American. This place is a special place. We're in jeopardy right now like we've never been before. We got a lot of people luxuriating in the freedom to continually critique what they take advantage of, like the comments from Navratilova about everybody come over here thinks about money. There's a reason for that, because we've turned this place into one big free enterprise zone without any respect at all for its history, its traditions, or who the people were that came before us. This is a freaking country. This is a country. I'm a citizen of it. And with all due respect to all of the Wayne Gretzky's and the Martina Navratilova's, you want to come here, you want to park your ass here, then you're an American too. Otherwise, park it back in Canada, wave the freaking flag, and get your hockey team, and it'll just be fantastic, man. That's the biggest joke in the world. Well, I realize I've gone on, and I probably should leave now. I apologize, I was angry, but you kids can keep playing here if you just keep the smell down, all right? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
You got to see a really great piece of video that I saw the other day. It was Martha Stewart being asked the questions about, is it I Am Clone or M Clone? I forget the company that apparently she sold a stock short. Or anyway, she's being asked questions on CBS. you had to hear her answering the questions. Actually, you had to hear the reporter asking the questions. Well, you could hear the sound of lettuce being chopped. I can't even describe it. Just, Martha, I have some questions. It was almost like a kid, when you go into your mother and you'd say, Mom, yes, chop, chop, chop. I was wondering, chop, chop, chop. Do you think I could have the car? Chop, chop, chop. You know, for the game Friday, chop, chop. This woman is like all apologetic, and Martha is just dismissive with her chopping of her lettuce. It was brilliant. It was transcendent. It was so bad, it was good. All right, here's April. Hi, April.
Hey.
How you doing?
Fine.
Good.
I mean, I respect your opinions, Nurhing. It's just that I feel like you were kind of wrong about this stuff because you need to find out how the country started. Why did the country have a war against England? Because they wanted religious freedom. That's why, I mean, and on the Constitution, they built it with biblical rights and biblical things that go with the Bible. I mean, they made it where they made it with the laws that
Well, that's cool.
I mean, they made it with the laws that, like, that the Bible has. I mean, you know, and you're acting like they should take the Bible out and, you know, and we were created from apes. What kind of...
Yeah, I really dig your Bible talk and then dropping the S-bomb on me. You gonna do that again?
No, it's just
watch your freaking language there, kid.
Okay.
All right, I'm being cool with you. Be cool with me, all right? This is
okay.
My house you're in, all right? So
all
watch
right,
your
I'm
language.
Sorry, okay.
You know what Jesus would do to you if you said that?
Okay, I'm sorry.
All
I mean,
right,
I'm not
okay.
Perfect.
All
I'm
right,
not
okay.
Perfect, but
well,
I mean,
you
I
should
just
be. On this
win.
Show, we're all perfect.
Okay,
okay
but you don't have to be
second,
perfect
April.
To be a Christian.
Wait a minute. God created us perfect, so don't be giving me that.
No, God created us perfect at the end. Whenever
hey, April,
he wraps
can I ask you something? Seriously, can I ask you something? Honestly. What's so bad about evolving from an ape? Apes are cool.
Apes are not cool.
It's an animal. It's an animal. It's one of God's creatures.
Yes, it is. But, I mean, that insults us.
No, it doesn't insult us. You know what insults me? Some guy ripping off 17,000 employees and sticking them on the street on Friday. That insults me. But that over a course of billions and billions of years that I might have, this species evolved up from an ape-like creature, plus they throw their own poop around the cage. You gotta love that. I mean, we don't even do that. You know, we can't have that much fun anymore, you know? No, but seriously, what's wrong with apes? The apes are a riot.
Okay, but I mean,
you say that, I'm not saying you're a monkey, April, and I'm not saying I'm a monkey. I'm saying many billions of years ago, our species was monkey-like before we stood upright and started, you know, throwing poop around the cage.
Okay, so you're saying that logically we evolved from fish to ape. Where are the missing links?
Well, you know what? Science is still trying to find them. But I would put this to you. While science is still keeping the door open for information on evolution, creationists are not scientists. And the reason why is because no matter how much information they may get debunking their theory, they'll always stick to it. They're not scientists. They're just people. They're dogmatic, and they sit and they on their little theory. And no matter how much science can bring to their door and say, well, wait a minute, what about this and what about this and what about this? They're not scientists. They just keep going back to the Bible as their credo.
No, but
you say, where's the missing
link?
I don't know. I mean, is there life on other planets? We're still looking. We're still seeking. We have found species we can't explain. We have found links between eras. We have found animals that were humanoid like that don't no longer exist, and they had tools with them. So we think, all right, well, this animal that is sort of ape like had tools. Is it possible that, you know, this is an ancestor of ours? We use tools. It's theory.
No, if you look hard, there are Christian scientists out there. It's just that you don't look for them.
Not creationists.
Yes.
No. They couldn't be because they are hard and fast in their belief that the earth was created. If they're true scientists, then they will take whatever data comes in and they will reform or conform their opinion to the data.
Okay.
Creationists don't do that.
So you're telling me that this whole world happened because of a big bang.
I think we came out of an ape's rear end and evolved from that point.
No,
I'm
but
joking.
I mean, if you follow that theory, then how did this Earth come? How did this Earth come?
If I told you Big Bang and then you say to me, no, it was God, I submit to you that my theory is your theory is just as goofy as mine. You say, well, God,
no,
I can't.
No, sir.
Yeah, it's goofy.
No, it's not.
Well, look, you're cool. I love you. Believe what you believe. Can we have the Pledge of Allegiance without the under God thing, or do we have to have that?
No, that would be nice. Because
oh, thanks
a lot. That's a tradition.
Yeah, I want it back in without the under God, right?
No, I want it.
Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Margaret Gray was on our program yesterday, and she was speaking about children that go missing, and then you finally find them. What mother, what father hasn't experienced that, where you suddenly look up and your child is gone? And she was talking about eventually finding that child, and how do you get the message home to that child that they shouldn't wander off? She said the best way is to punch them directly in the mouth with a closed fist, preferably taking rings off of your hand and loading up the punching hand. So here's Margaret yesterday on how to deal with that child who has gone missing. Punch them in the mouth until they bleed.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I just like to say that I feel like this was malicious and intentful child abuse.
Oh, well, that is so Oprah of you, but I'm afraid you're not really seeing the whole picture.
Well, I do see the whole picture. I happen to have three very successful daughters.
But that's very Oprah.
And I have five grandsons, a granddaughter, and I have never, not ever, intentionally taken rings off of my hand, put them on the other hand, and hit that. I would not do that to my dog.
My son, J. Delmonico, is a very well-known young actor. So I think that
And that's the only thing that's important to you.
No,
that's the only thing.
No, but
look in the mirror and see how much bigger you are than him.
Listen. And then you hit him?
All I
How do you like it if somebody that much bigger than you hit you?
If I was 9 years old and I ran off, I would hope that they would hit me so hard that my jaw would be dislocated.
I would hope that when he gets old enough, he takes that pilly little 15% that you're getting from him and sue you for every dime.
You know something, Pam? You love to pass judgment on me. How many TV commercials have your kids been in?
Now we know. You're in it for the commercials. You're not in it
I think that my son's life is a little bit more valuable from that standpoint than your children.
I don't think so.
That's why.
How can you say that?
It's obvious that there is more money tied up in Jason J. Delmonico's career than whatever she's got.
You don't even have an ounce of love compared to the love that my kids have.
Look, with
and my grandkids.
Herd, with your little herd, I know you are so full of it. No, I'm sure you're very happy, but I have...
I am absolutely ecstatic, and I'm very proud of my kids, and I don't ever want to take any money from them. And every dime I've got, I've invested in them, and I love them, and I will give them everything, and I don't expect anything
in return. You say that until you start wetting yourself, and you need to move into the room over the garage. Then you'll think differently, all right? And until that day comes around, I think that you should remember what I said. You pluck that kid, and if he thinks about wandering off, show him your ring. And
if, if I had seen you pluck that kid, I'd have called the police.
And what? You're going to call the... You're interfering in me... You would interfere with a mother.
Yeah, I would. Because that's not only abuse, it's assault.
Isn't that PC of you to interfere with a mother doing tough love? Do you know what tough love
maybe is? Maybe it is. It might be PC, but it's moral and it's right.
You are
wrong to hit your child like that.
Pam,
I'm not saying that you can't swat him on the butt once in a while.
I am
saying is you don't take your big fancy ring that you're talking about and put several of them on a hand, and then knock him across to put stitches in his face. You are absolutely ludicrous.
My son went off for 2 hours and scared me to death. My husband, Frank, gave me a beautiful 3.5-carat stone for our engagement ring. And let me tell you something, it comes in mighty handy when a kid thinks he's only nine.
I'm really glad.
It comes in handy when a kid is 9 going on 26. And Pam, you look cute at the old folks home gumming your pork because the herd couldn't afford to put a tooth in your mouth.
Hey, sweetie, you know how much money I have.
You know, Margaret, you don't have to be that insulting.
Oh, she's telling me how to be a mother. She's telling me how to keep my child safe. My child, safe. Do you know have you ever heard the name Elizabeth Smart? Do you know the name Moxley? Do you know the name Danielle Van Damme? Good God, woman. Children are dying.
And your point is?
Hello?
Hello?
I'm done.
I know you're there, Pam. Are you there,
yes.
Margaret?
I'm sick of it.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, then go back to the phone.
No. I'm sick of it.
Well, I guess she doesn't want to come back to the phone.
I guess not.
You're right. I've been treated with disrespect. Goodbye.
Sounds like she's hitting the phone now.
Are you trying to hang up?
I've hung up.
No, you haven't hung up, because I'm still talking to you.
Please tell the cow to quit laughing.
Don't call her a cow.
I'm asking the cow on the other end to quit laughing.
Don't call the woman a name. You don't want to be on the phone? Hang up.
There.
There what?
She's hitting the phone with a ring.
All right, is it hung up?
No, it's not.
$3,000 phone.
I'll see you later, Pam.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, hang it up, will you?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, that can't hang up the phone bit always works. That's going on 5 years with that bit. I'll never forget the first time we did Can't Hang Up the Phone. I was filling in for Bill Handel locally in Los Angeles on KFI, which is, by the way, the one and only time I ever filled in for Bill. And we did that bit where the old lady couldn't hang up the phone. And ever since then, it was something born of an earlier part in my career where, you know, you'd literally have people on the other end of the phone and they'd tell you that you're a pile of dirt and they didn't want to listen to your show anymore. And then it would just... You know, you're listening to them. Just put the fucker... Hang it up, will you? You know, so... 1-800-449-8686. Here's an interesting little tidbit. And this was emailed to us from David Nusser. David found this, he says, while he was searching for fishing reports from a lake. He was looking for fishing reports for a local lake. And he found this, I guess, on a chat room or a message board for fishermen. Castaic at night. He was looking for fishing ports from Lake Castaic. And this is from a guy. He writes, Hog Hunter, you should have said hello, and I would have introduced you to my partner, the legend in his own mind, Steve Big Bait Bird. He's really on a roll now that his sponsor heard how well we did in that tournament. His sponsor said he was going to give us a couple of bowling shirts he had left over from the bowling team he also sponsors. The guy's name is Ted Bell, and he owns a steakhouse. He thought it'd be a good idea to wear the shirts to the next tournament. He had a real catchy phrase on the back, we love to put our meat in your mouth. Big Bait thinks it has a nice ring to it and should be a big hit at the next outing, and that would have his other sponsors' patches sewn on, too. Power Bait, Turbo Dough, and Foster Farm Chicken Livers. That boy is a handful to keep up with. Now, I saw this, and I said to Janice, you know, it's funny how different characters on this show pop up on different websites and different chat rooms. And I said, just as an example, I entered in the name R.C. Collins, another character on our show. And sure enough, on the first page of references to R.C. Collins came some guy in a chat room about Star Wars using the name R.C. Collins. And he was talking about the new Star Wars game and this. And then if you look for the name Ted Bell, as this guy did, you'll also find there was a chat room, I guess, about 2 years ago. And it was run by a strip club, a joint that had strippers. And you could go online and you could talk to the strippers. And so this dude logged on as Ted Bell talking about all the bread that he had and all, you know, and what a good-looking cat he was, even though he had an overbite. And his strippers would come on and talk about how what a slob he sounded like. And then he'd say, no, my name is Ted Bell, and believe me, when I tip you a big, when I give you the big C-note for the lap dance, you'll love me. And then the strippers come back with, we wouldn't lap dance you, man, if you were Hugh Hefner or whatever. And he's back on again saying, oh, my name is Ted Bell, and even with my overbite, I'm the best-looking thing you've ever seen. Well, now he's really got these chicks wired and crazy, and they're emailing back, you know, they're back in the chat room with, you know, we wouldn't touch it, if, you know, if you were, you know, whatever, the most gorgeous guy in the world, and he had these chicks just going nuts. It was hysterical. I'm reading this thing. Has anybody else seen any references to any of our, Steve Bozell? I told you the story about Steve Bozell. He popped up in a Gordon Liddy show. Liddy's reading all of Steve Bozell's lawsuits as if they're real. And on and on and on it goes. I wonder if Margaret's been in any. She must have been in some. I'm going to have to log on, you know, go into Google and just look up, like, here's the names. Margaret Gray, R.C. Collins, Ted Bell, Larry Grover, you know, Bob Green. I don't know. Who are the other characters that people like? Well, whatever their names are, you can put them into these. And I guess the point that I'm making is that this show, Bobby Dooley, there's another one, man. This show has taken on a life of its own in many ways because it now, my listeners are now creating a whole other dimension to this program and it resides on the internet. And while we have a website, philhenryshow.com, which, by the way, you can pick up your Jay Santos, your Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police web t-shirt there on a website. While we have a website, there's a world out there on the internet involving the Phil Hendry Show that is enormous. People taking our audio and putting it up on listening posts, sticking it over on Napster, wherever it is. People assuming the identities of our characters. It's pretty funny. I'm not entirely sure that I mind it. I think it's rather funny. Some of the guys started a Citizens Auxiliary Police website. Maybe this is normal for other shows, I don't know, but for our program, it's new, and it's kind of different and twisted, because somebody assuming the identity of R.C. Collins, there's something wrong with that. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
888-589-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Okay, here is Philip. Hello, Philip.
Hello.
How you doing, pal?
Fine. How's it going, Phil?
Good, man.
Hey, first of all, I love your show. I think you guys are geniuses.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, particularly the shows about current events. I kind of do a twist. Like the recent Chandra Levy show was just brilliant.
Well, what did we do with her?
Oh, you had the people who wanted to go to the funeral and sell shirts, and they wanted the money back for the shirts.
That was awesome, yeah.
Oh, it was just perfect.
Thanks.
It was great. But the reason I called about the removing Under God from the Pledge of Allegiance.
Right.
I'm a fundamentalist Christian, and frankly, I don't think that Christians...
You're a fun-loving Christian?
A fundamentalist.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Fun-loving, too, but I don't think it should be an issue for Christians. If people want to take it out, I frankly agree that it's probably, arguably, not constitutional.
Right.
And I think that, frankly, us getting up in arms about taking those words out of the Constitution isn't going to prevent the country from, you know, under God in the Pledge of Allegiance isn't going to stop the country from going to hell in a handbasket. And we need to be doing the things that the Bible and that Jesus told us to, would tell the world about him. And
yeah, see, a lot of Christians say that that's telling the world about him by putting under God in the on the money.
You know what? I think it's a flimsy excuse at best. We got to be praying for people, and we got to be telling them, hey, God loves you. You know, we have a belief, and it's in the Bible, and part of that is that we're supposed to tell others about it. But
all right, cool.
Putting it in the Pledge of Allegiance... That's flimsy at best, you know?
Do you drink?
No, I don't.
You don't drink? Do you smoke?
No, I don't.
Do you dance?
I'm not good at it, but I'm not against it.
There's no prescription against dancing?
I don't think so.
How come you don't drink or smoke?
Well, I had a single mother who was on drugs until I was about 9 years old, and then I had a teenage period full of Prealatine and Alatine and Al-Anon.
Oh, wow.
And then we found Jesus later in life. You know, they found him. She remarried, and then, you know, I became Christian.
Your mom found Jesus, too?
Yeah. She's who led me to Christ.
Do you know any fundamentalists that like to, you know, sock one back on a Friday night, or no?
I know a few who will drink, for whom, you know, drinking is not a problem. Jesus drank wine.
Yeah, cool.
Jesus made wine out of water.
All right.
I don't think being fundamentalist means that, you know, we have to not socialize or something or be better than other people.
I think I would consider becoming Christian again if it was okay for me to knock back a little single barrel Jack on the weekends, you know?
You know, I know some Christians who have beer in their house and they drink one every now and then.
That's the rep.
They like it.
I think that the rep of fundamentalists more than anything else is what hurts them, and the rep is they're too tight-ass, they can't have a good time, and they're sort of finger-wagging, you know? But you're
well, definitely the finger-wagging,
right?
Because we keep pointing out one issue at a time, you know, instead of telling people the full message, you know?
Right.
What we should be telling them about God and salvation and Christ and love, and...
Now, what about that whole...
Instead of that, we focus on these little, you know, minute one-off issues.
What about that whole gay thing?
The whole gay thing, that's a good question.
I have many friends, many very close, deep friends who are gay. Actually, I only have one.
You know what?
But I say that because that's what most people say.
I agree with the guy. He's that English guy who's on PBS a lot and Discovery a lot.
Yeah?
And his comment was that that homosexuality was biological because of population density. You know how, like, frogs, when there's not enough of them, they start
making love to each other.
It's sort of the opposite.
You sound pretty good, man. I wouldn't call you a... If you're a fundamentalist, then you're all right with me. Okay,
I'm a fundamentalist in the respect that I pretty much take the Bible word for word.
There you go. Well, that's all right. Thanks for calling.
I know.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's all I need to be considered crazy. I don't need to go pointing out,
need that.
You know,
don't
take it out of the Pledge of Allegiance to sound crazy.
Yay. Thanks for calling. When he started doing voices, that's when I got a little nervous. But, you see, I don't care what a guy believes. It's when they're always up in your face telling you that you're going to be cooked and sautéed in hell. That's when I start to get nervous. That's when things begin to happen that are not good. And they usually have to do with a loose bowel. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get into an argument with anybody, and I certainly don't want to tell somebody they can't do whatever they want to do. You can have any religion you want to have. This country would be 200 years further down the road if we just get out of everybody's face about things that have nothing to do seriously with the immediate greater good. All right, I've got to promo our souvenir shop, and I'm going to do that with a modicum, I think, of with some modesty and taste, and yet I need to get the message out that we'd like you to visit our souvenir shop at philhenryshow.com. And why? There are many reasons, but I'll give you three. Our best of CDs are there. Our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is there, and our brand new Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt is there, available now in black and silver in all the men's sizes, small through extra, extra large, as are the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts, small through extra, extra large. Pick up a couple of shirts, get them to dad, get them to a brother, get them to your mom, get them to your sister. They make great birthday gifts, they make great anniversary gifts, they would make a wonderful 50th anniversary gift just to give your wife a T-shirt, they would make a wonderful engagement gift. Why give her a ring when you can give her a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt? It's all there on the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com, philhendriehshow.com. That's P-H-L-P-I-P-L. Let me just hold on for a minute. It's the Phil Henry Show website. Let me just get this. P-H-I-L-H-E-N-D-R-I-E. Yeah, there it is. Okay, see. Show.com.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Larry Grover from chairman of the Kern County, Conservatives of Kern County, is with us. We haven't had you on the program in a while, Larry. I know that your organization, Conservatives of Kern County, is a little bit dormant. Hold on for a minute while I put Larry on hold. I got to get back to where I'm supposed to be here. Larry, you there?
I'm right here, Phil. Thank you.
Okay, I know the organization's been a little bit dormant over the last year, but we wanted to talk about Martha Stewart and the problem she's having with the stock market. I know that she has represented over the years some very conservative home-based values, and to look at those problems that she's having financially, how does that jibe with her image as being sort of clean-cut? And you saying this from a conservative point of view, of course.
Well, first of all, Martha Stewart has problems like many beautiful women. Women have problems who take advice from men who may want to win their favor. They find that they've been taken advantage of.
So Martha Stewart's been taken advantage of to some degree?
Well, Phil, I think a beautiful woman is someone to admire, perhaps from a distance, but certainly not someone you want to take advantage of. I think you cherish a beautiful woman. And when you talk about a beautiful woman who's also industrious and successful, you have a dynamic combination, and I think you have that in Martha Stewart. I think everybody wants to be her friend. Everyone wants to, if you will, be her boyfriend or confidant. And so she does a lot of favors for people. And the next thing you know, she's got herself some problems.
Well, you're talking about Martha Stewart like she's almost perfect.
Well,
and we know she's had problems. Plus, there was an unauthorized biography that spoke of her, shall we say, her sexual past.
Well, I am a gentleman, and I'm not going to comment on that. But this is jealousy. What's happened to Martha Stewart is there are a lot of jealous women who don't have what she has, and they try and mar the image that is pristine. It's the image of a lady and an entrepreneur.
Why are you such a fan?
Well, Phil, my wife and four children left me 4 years ago because I was industrious. I was committed to political issues. I'm not saying I didn't make mistakes in my marriage, but maybe I should have spent more time with my family. But I'm a very happy man today. I live with my mother. We share a beautiful home here in the Culver City area, and I can see for the first time the faults of my ex-wife, so that when I see a woman like Martha Stewart on television, the more the faults of my ex-wife are magnified. My wife couldn't clean. She didn't decorate. She couldn't cook. She certainly didn't know the things that Martha Stewart knows. I don't know where you want to go with this, but as far as personal hygiene went, my ex-wife was for all intents and purposes, a man. So I believe that Martha Stewart is a wonderful example to any and all women who want to get their heads up out of where they are, where American women are today, which I think is a very, very sorry state. Get their heads up out of there and look at Martha Stewart as an industrious and, yes, beautiful, beautiful woman who's been able to combine physical beauty and industriousness into quite a cottage industry.
You live with your mother right now, right?
Yes, I do.
Are you happy?
I think any man's mother is the only woman in his life that approaches... If you want to talk about Martha Stewart, I think your mother is the one that approaches what she's able to do. I've been out dating, but I right now my mother and I have a very comfortable home. But one of the things I've noticed when I've been out dating about the available women in America, Phil, is that they're, for the most part, and I'm going to say this bluntly, but this is going to give you an idea of why I appreciate so very, very much Martha Stewart. Most American women are pigs. Nothing's in their homes match.
Remember that a lot of us have wives and girlfriends.
Well, I don't want to disrespect you, but I will say it again. Most American women are pigs. Nothing in their homes match. Their idea of styling their hair is pour on the Aquanet. There's a lot of... And there are a lot of ethnic women out there today. We have black women and brown women that I've got. I am not racist in any way, shape, or form, but I ask a question that a lot of men ask. Whatever happened to the beautiful, traditional look of the white woman in the kitchen, a beautiful white woman who is traditional in the way that she presents herself? And
so, you know, that a lot of us happen to like black and brown women, too.
Well, you say what you need to say, Mr. Talk Show Host.
Yes, sir, I will. 1-800-449-8686. I take offense at that comment.
I didn't mean any offense.
You say what you will, Mr. Talk Show Host. 1-800-449-8686. Most American women are pigs. That's why they're trying to rip down Martha Stewart. What makes Martha Stewart, in your book, Mr. Grover, the perfect woman?
Well, if I can be blunt, she's able to create a beautiful home with coordinates and taste. She can prepare a beautiful meal, be it dinner, breakfast, or lunch, with a flair and an uncommon touch. And she is a very beautiful woman who I am sure would be, and I say this with the utmost of respect, would be a delight in the bedroom. And so these are the things I think you put together when any man, I don't care who he is looking for a woman that he would want to spend not just the rest of his life with, but 3 hours with. Can she cook? Can she clean? Is she clean? And is she delightful in the bedroom?
Well, all right, Martha Stewart's not every woman, and that's what we're getting at here. The woman is...
And because she isn't every woman, she's being persecuted.
All right, that's what I want to get at, because she's not like every woman. All of the women of America want to drag her down.
I wouldn't say all the women of America. I think you got two kinds of women out there. Some of them who want to emulate Martha Stewart, and the others who are, quite frankly, such failures as women. And I know, because I was married for 15 years to one who was an utmost failure, and I have never known more joy than I do now living with mother and working on different political projects. And I'll get back into the swing of things. I'll get married again, but I have my mother. We have our beautiful home, and when I do see Martha Stewart on television, I imagine she would be quite a delight in the bedroom. And for
Moving on to the other things that you wanted to say, she's not every woman. She's being persecuted.
Yes, and she's able to multitask. Can you imagine being married to that? Can you imagine being married to that? A woman that can multitask. It does all the decorating. It serves food, and then it'll do every kind of. That'll do every kind of twist and flip in the bedroom you can think of. Can you imagine being married to something like that? But most of these guys are married to something that can only cook or clean, and then it starts to complain when you come through the door at night. And I'm saying, if you look at Martha Stewart, you just look at that the next time it's on television and tell me you wouldn't mind being married to that. Something that can decorate a home and then do every kind of twist and flip in the bedroom at the end of a long day. But a lot of guys are married to women who are like jumping poodles trying to grab the meat. And what they do, what do they want to do to Martha Stewart? They want to destroy her.
Well, it sounds like the men, you know, it sounds like the men wouldn't want to, just the women, you know?
Well, the men do because they can never have her. They could never have it. That's why guys are with women that they're with, because those women are easy to handle. It's called lowering your standards.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Sorry I've taken all this time without giving our phone number out. The number is 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, who sees a decided conspiracy against Martha Stewart because she is a perfect woman in many ways. Beautiful, accomplished in the kitchen, accomplished as a homemaker, wealthy, and that most American women just frankly don't even live up to it. And I would say...
Yeah, the other thing, Phil, Martha has drawn the line in the sand that American women are either scared or too lazy to cross that line. And if you're a guy who's married to something that doesn't want to cross the line, how do you motivate it? How do you motivate it so that it can become more like a Martha Stewart? The first thing you do to it is tell it. Be honest with it. Say, what happened to the beautiful girl that I used to know? What happened to the homemaker I used to know? And if it doesn't understand, then you have to continue to repeat the message. And of course, when you look at Martha Stewart, you imagine yourself with something like that. Then you go back to what you're married to and you tell it, this is what I'm talking about. So these are the things that I would do. And the other thing is of course, our hygiene clinics.
Now tell me about the Martha Stewart hygiene clinics that you want to sponsor.
Well, as soon as my tax rebate check gets in, I want to propose to Martha that she do a series of clinics assisting women with what is probably the most glaring personal problem today, personal hygiene. And I think Ms. Stewart, being so lovely, can assist the American woman in that way if we can make it compulsory.
All right, Larry Grover with us, 1-800-449-8686. I also noticed there at the end how he referred to women as it and that. Or was that my imagination? 1-800-449-8686. Is Martha Stewart being torn to the ground because most American women are jealous of her? Is Martha Stewart being torn to the ground because she's just a perfect woman and everybody doesn't like that kind of perfection? Or is she just a person that cannot handle the empire, the great success that she's had? Our number is 1-800. Mr. Grover seems to think that it's all about the fact that she is a exemplary woman and people are jealous. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dave, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Dave?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, this is Dave.
Right, go ahead.
Yeah, my comment was that the...
Larry, you there?
I'm right here.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, my comment is that I do some traveling in Eastern Europe, and like, for example, especially the Czech women laugh at American women. They state that American women have forgotten what it means to be a wife. And in an area of the world where it's much more prudish, the America, we have much more strip clubs and things of this nature than in Eastern Europe. And you'd think it'd be inversely proportional, but it isn't.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Dave. American women have lost even the, I think, the basic sensibility to be homemakers. That's why it stuns me that a woman like Martha Stewart is given the kind of pressure she's given.
Right.
And I think that the women in this country have devolved to a level of almost pig-like behavior in their personal hygiene and in the way they keep a home.
Pig-like?
Yes.
Would you agree with that, Dave?
Well, I can say this. I was married once for about 7 years,
and
personal hygiene was definitely an issue.
Okay.
I wouldn't call them pigs, of course, but personal hygiene, there was an issue.
All right, well, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. So we got with us here Larry Grover, chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, looking at the problems that Martha Stewart's having and saying that it's not her fault. It happens to be the fault of American women who are jealous. Well, and as I said, I asked you, what made Martha Stewart, in your book, so so perfect, and you say it's because she knows how to do things and would be a delight in the bedroom.
I absolutely agree with that, Phil. If a woman, if women would listen to Martha Stewart, how do I say this? And I'm going to say this as gently as I can. We're having a problem on Wall Street right now, and if women would listen to Martha Stewart, I'm telling you, FDS stock would go through the roof. And I'm
not, oh, now, come on.
No, I it is a, it's a...
Well, look, I'm living with a woman. I'm married to a woman, okay?
I understand. Please believe me when I tell you that I know that you love and respect your wife, okay?
Yeah, but...
Your wife, Maria, isn't as good as Martha Stewart. She doesn't...
I love my wife. Do you understand?
No, I know you love your wife, and I know every man that would call this program claims to love his wife. But all of the women out there that men love are nowhere near on the level of Martha Stewart. Let me tell you...
How can you... I love my wife, all right, and she's perfect for me. There's no woman above my wife.
And I think that if you spent 5 minutes in a room with Martha Stewart, which I did, in 1996, you would be in love with the beauty, charisma, and the ability to do it all. I can tell you this, Phil. This is a woman who has a brewery downstairs. She brews her own beer. She makes her own wine. She entertains in a manner that would befit the White House. I was on a date with a woman 2 weeks ago. She was a student over here at Pasadena City College. And I will tell you that the smell would knock a buzzard off the hind end.
Oh, come on, man. Then you're obviously finding your dates places where you shouldn't find your dates. The smell, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, I've never had that experience, and I've dated women before I was a married man for many, many years. I never dated...
You never dated a woman that smelled.
I'm sure probably somewhere along the line one had bad breath or something. I never, ever encountered that.
Well, I think, mister, you're doing a disservice to your listeners.
Here is Miranda. Miranda, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Sir, I'm just wondering, have you ever had a personal hygiene problem ever in your life?
I'm
Are you a perfect human being?
No, ma'am, of course I'm not perfect, but I...
Okay, and I also... I'm wondering, should we all be followers of a Martha Stewart cult or something? Because I definitely am my own person.
There's your jealousy coming out.
I'm not jealous of this woman. I'm saying, she's successful, and she does what
she's
doing.
She has great physical beauty.
And that's good, but she's portraying a television personality, and she's doing that to make money, and that's her...
That's who she is in real life, though.
That's her secret to make money. And, you know, have
that's
you ever met the woman?
Yes, I have.
You have?
Yes, I have. Have
wow,
you?
Does she? Are
you
an obsessive stalker? No, I haven't, and
okay,
I'm not going to idolize someone I've never met.
I think I know a little bit more about her than you.
Well, good, because you're obviously obsessed with the woman.
No, I'm simply saying that American women...
I mean, if every other woman in the world is not good enough because she is just this idol for you...
I'm simply saying that every American woman would do well to take a few lessons from Martha Stewart in clothing, makeup, hair...
In clothing is...
How to decorate a home, how to keep a beautiful home...
Celebrate diversity.
And I mentioned
should we all just be Martha Stewart's? Everyone just run around in our little aprons and decorate our homes?
Oh, see, listen to you. This is exactly what's happening, Phil. They put
That's
her down
terrible.
Because she's domestic. They put her down because she's domestic.
Okay,
Let me tell you something. What
about all those women who are doctors and save lives and don't have time to come home and cook their man a meal?
You put down women being... When I take off
no,
my
I
pants,
don't. If
birds
that's what
don't fly
choose,
out of the area.
Fine.
Unless... I beg your pardon?
That if that's what they choose, that's fine. To be home and to take care of a family, that's great for them. But I don't feel
you know,
that
you're
everyone
a real fireball there, Miranda. It's so great to talk to you.
All right, Miranda, thank you for your call. I think you made some very good points.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Sandra, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi, Sandra.
Yeah, this is Sandra.
Yes.
I'm really upset with this guy. Not everybody's Martha Stewart.
What's wrong with a woman knowing how to comb her hair?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that we don't have personal hygiene. Maybe you had one bad experience. That doesn't mean that every woman is a pig. How dare you call everyone a pig?
I think from my experience, I live with my mother. And as you know, every man's best friend is his mother. And I've never found a woman who comes up to my mother's level of hygiene decorating taste, and clothing.
Well, maybe that's your mother, but you know what? I'm a mother of two boys, and I've taught my boys hygiene. That doesn't mean you think that everybody's what you want.
I don't want your boys taking lessons from Martha Stewart, Sandra. I would like you to take lessons from Martha Stewart.
I don't need to. Look, I'm a working mother, okay? I make good money.
Do you shower?
That's right.
What
I'm
do you mean,
a working
does she
mother,
shower?
And my house is clean, okay? And my house is clean, and I'm a clean person.
Well, I'm tired.
Where do you get off calling ladies pigs?
I'm saying I'm tired of picking hair out of my teeth. And
would you please remember you're talking to a lady?
You are so ridiculous. Yeah. You forget. You know what? Maybe you've had bad experiences.
Have you seen Martha Stewart on television? There's a combination
of... Yeah, I've seen her, and I think I'm 10 times better than she is. Where do you get off saying
we should all be
Martha Stewart? You're ridiculous.
So in other words, you came up with the idea of floating candles in a bowl. No, you didn't.
You know why? No, you didn't.
No, I
didn't. But that doesn't mean that I don't use them, and that doesn't mean that I'm a pig.
She's the one that came up with the idea.
She came up with the idea,
but that doesn't mean that I'm a pig.
No, you think people don't have personal hygiene.
You know what? You're ridiculous.
Right. 1-800-
and you're a waste to society.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And Larry here thinks Martha Stewart's the perfect woman. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Now, what are you trying to tell me?
I'm telling you. And I tried to tell you the last quarter hour, Mr. Hendry.
This is Larry Grover, by the way, from Conservatives of Kern County about Martha Stewart. What?
Everything that Martha Stewart has ever done on television, everything that she's ever written about in her books, whether it's how to hang swags of cloth from a beautiful curtain rod, or how to braid your gardenias, or how to braid your grass, it all is pointing in one direction. She's trying to send a message, and it's subliminal, but she's trying to send a message to the women of America about personal hygiene. Now, do I need to spell it out?
You're telling me that her...
Yes, her TV show, her books, everything.
Her cooking?
Her cooking, her cleaning...
Painting?
Yeah, all the arts and crafts, everything. It's all put on the air with one and only one intent, to try to get through to women about personal hygiene.
Potpourri.
Potpourri. Construction paper flowers. Floating candles in a bowl. Little things of cheese. It's all trying to tell the American women, for God's sake, clean up.
Why doesn't she just come out and say that?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. That'll get her. That'll get her $100 million real fast. She has been... Don't you get it? Don't you see? Haven't you seen? She's been on a one-woman crusade to try to get these broads to clean up. And it,
what a little blocks of cheese with flags did it have to do with that?
Cheese! Get it? Potpourri! God!
Oh.
Oh! Oh!
Well, I didn't know.
There you go. That's what I've been trying to tell you.
All of her...
Everything she's ever done. And you think the American women are picking up on it? From personal experience, I can tell you the answer's a big N-O. No.
What about floating the candles in a bowl?
It's all a bowl. Get it?
All right, man.
Yeah, okay.
1-800-449-8686. That's Larry Grover. All right, from yesterday's show, an uplifting email starring me and Bud Dickman.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
We are now going to do our uplifting email of the day, and this comes to us from a fan in Van Nuys, California. What do you need, Bud? I'm going to do something. What do you need?
Can I come in and take a nap in here?
What do you want to take a nap in here?
But I got kicked out of the woman's head. They had that cotton there.
I'm doing a show.
Well, I won't make... I just want to take a nap.
We're going to keep you awake.
No. No, you won't. You won't.
You want to come in here and take a nap?
If you don't mind.
Go ahead, lay down.
All right, sir, I'll go over here.
That's fine. All right, today's uplifting email here on the Phil Hendry Show, and this comes to us from Claudie. She's in Van Nuys. It says, Dear Phil, the first time I heard you, I was thoroughly disgusted. It was in 1996, and the holistic healer Margaret Gray was telling a listener how Senator Bob Dole needed to do more push-ups to strengthen his upper body. Well, I listened in stunned amazement. Why was the host giving free rein to this awful woman? I refused to tune in. All right, hold on for a minute. Bud! You're making noise, dude.
Might have been playing with that guy, man.
Go back to sleep, okay?
Boom, man.
Margaret Gray was telling a listener how Senator Bob Dole needed to do more push-ups to strengthen his upper body. I listened in stunned amazement. Why was the host giving free rein to this awful woman? I refused to tune in after that, but I would give a quick listen every now and then. Bud.
Fanny. Making noise?
Yes. Why was the host giving free rein? Why was the host giving free rein to this awful woman? I refused to tune in after that, but I would give a quick listen every... Hey!
Hey, man.
Hey, man, I'm trying to do a radio show here.
Hey, what'd I do?
You're making gas, you got snoring and everything. Now, come on. I'm throwing you out if you keep doing it.
How am I supposed to know?
I don't know how you're supposed to know.
If anybody snore, how do they know? They're asleep.
I don't know, man, but I'm going to have to believe you.
I'm going to go back to sleep.
Go back to sleep. Jesus, open a window, will you? But I would give a quick listen every now and again, and then I would see if the management had come to their senses and fired you. Months later, I heard Margaret again, pretending to be some... Months later, I heard Margaret again, pretending to be some sort of... Months later, I heard Margaret again, pretending to be some sort of an expert, and I realized it was a hoax. Then a friend told me, didn't you know he does all those voices? Then I was hooked. Shut up! Oh, now he's gonna bawl. Now he's bawling, huh? I'm waking you up because you're laying there sounding like an animal. An animal!
I didn't mean it.
It doesn't matter whether you mean it or not. Are you an animal? Go back to sleep. And I mean sleep. Much later, I heard Margaret again, pretending to be some other sort of expert, and realized it was a hoax. Then a friend told me, didn't you know, he, meaning you, Phil, does all the voices. Then I was hooked. I love you, Phil. I'm especially touched by the devotion you have toward your wife and stepchildren. Not every stepdad would or could do that. You're a master showman, a great dad, and a heck of a primate. Sincerely, your fan, Claudie, Van Nuys, California. Well, Claudie, thank you for that letter and for writing into the Phil Hendry Show. We'd like to give you a Phil Hendry Show...
I'm sorry.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. There's all kinds of wonderful comedy bits that we store on our website. And you can go there and check our 30-day archive, our audio archives. and listen to all of the great comedy from our show. But you do need a backstage pass. It's only $6.95, and it's self-renewing or auto-renewing, I think is what they call it. And that means that you will just, or you can get a six-month subscription, which is much cheaper. And you have access to high-quality audio. And we were talking about a lot of the different websites that have our material on it. The audio is bad. And we take this directly from our program line, and it sounds just cleaner. So with all due respect and with great appreciation to the people who have websites devoted to our show, I got to tell you that the audio we got on our website is much cleaner, and we have more extensive files. We got stuff that goes back many, many years. We have long form, short form, and I think that we've begun the process of putting full hours in there too, right, Craig, of stuff that we do. So anyway, go to our website, philhenryshow.com, philhendrieshow.com, get your backstage pass. Also, pick up that Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. It's brand new in our souvenir store. It is black and silver. It is a black T-shirt with the silver Citizens Auxiliary Police badge over the left breast. And the slogan on the back in silver, the slogan, "We take a peek over the shoulder of the police." It's 100% cotton. It comes in small, medium, large, extra large, and extra, extra large. $16, baby. You can't beat that. Maybe you can, but don't be cheap. $16, $8 shipping and handling, and it's shipped within 2 to 4 weeks. Be the first on your block. One of the great things about the merchandise we have on our show is you don't see my name anywhere on it, all right? So when you wear a Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt and somebody asks you what the hell is that, you can say, oh, well, it's this jackass named Phil Henry, or you don't say anything. I prefer if you say something, though, because then what the hell is the point of me selling it to you, right? Oh, I know. That's right. The money. Anyway, philhenryshow.com so you can pick up your Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt or your Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. This is the Phil Henry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I'd like to tell you that in a week from tomorrow, we will be doing the top 100 calls of the year, give or take 80. It's only a three-hour show, so I can't promise it's going to be all 100 calls, but we're going to do the top calls of the year in order on our show July the 4th and a special encore presentation on July the 5th. So for the very first time in the history of talk radio, everybody plays phone calls, but none of them are any good except on our show. And why would any of these other shows play back the phone calls they get? Because it's really just going to be a long succession of...
Hi, I was listening to your comments with regard to the sewer bond for the North County, and I really...
Yeah, that's great. So because we get good calls on our show, what we're going to do is do a top 100 countdown on July 4th. So it'll be really solid, you know, reason to drag the AM radio near the barbecue. Totally solid. Drag that freaking radio out there near the barbecue, pop a couple of cold ones, and enjoy it. And then we'll do an encore on Friday as well. Okay? 1-800-449-8686, the number here on The Phil Henry Show. Larry, hello, you're on The Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Hey, I got a question for you, man.
Well, ain't that a shock?
Hey, I would I'd love to buy one of those Jay Sanos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirts. But $8 shipping and handling for 2 to 4 weeks for a T-shirt?
Yeah, that's a good price. Of course, if you're living out of the trunk of your car like you are, I ain't giving you no break.
Not quite, but pretty close.
Yeah, okay. Well, when you get a job...
Hello?
Get out of here. $8 shipping and handling. Look, this is a job for employed people. This is a job for people that are out walking the street, and you were already, you know, you did your 30 days... No calls from jail. Thank you very much, sir. I only take phone calls from people that are functioning and contributing from society. And yeah, I said $8 shipping and handling. And I'll tell you what, that's a deal. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. So how about that WorldCom? Is that a beautiful thing or what? WorldCom belly up. And they've even got the gall and the guts and the chutzpah to put on their website, "We'll be back." Back doing what? You'll be back breaking big rocks into little rocks. That's what you're going to be back doing. And that poor guy that runs that company, Sidgemore, here's a guy that got the job at the end of April, and by July, the whole world, the ass is just falling right out of his life. This guy's got this gig where he's running a big communications company. Do you realize that WorldCom owns MCI? Yeah, now now I got your attention, didn't I? That's right, baby, they own MCI. How many of you guys got MCI? Think about that one the next time you hear a dial tone. Actually, think about that one the next time you don't hear a dial tone. Takes over the gig. It's 75,000 employees, and then they're going to take 17,000. Did they say 20,000, did you say? Possibly 20,000. They got 75,000 employees, and 25,000 of them they're going to stick on the street come Friday. If this is not an indictment of the new version of capitalism in this country, which really doesn't have its eye on anything other than grabbing as much as you can and trying to sneak out the back door, get over the fence, throw yourself into the trunk of your Rolls and you're out of here. Whatever happened to people that built companies? Whatever happened to the good old days when blacks sat at the back of the bus? What's happening to this country? No, but seriously, whatever happened to the days? Do you know that there was a time in the history of this country? You're going to laugh at this, but I want you to think about it after you laugh at it. There was a time in the history of this country when you bought a bag of tobacco or whatever the hell it was, instead of a baseball card of some dumbass in a baseball suit, you pulled out a card of a picture of Carnegie or Rockefeller or one of the captains of industry in this country. There was a time when they were revered men. When people wanted to be them, when people wanted to work as hard as they could and become individuals who could build factories and employ people, they could bring towns back to life, they could bring families and lives and careers back to life. There was a time that we didn't pull out a picture of dumbass Gonzalez of the Chicago Weenies or whatever the hell team he's playing for. You're pulling out a picture there of the man, whoever it might be. Now we have this version of capitalism. And the real sad, and by the way, sad commentary on all of this is that I'm listening to the brain surgeons that have been hired by the broadcast facilities across this country, and guess who they're blaming it on? Clinton. Man, you have got to be desperate for material when you start to stick your hand into that bag. Oh, yeah, that's right, it's Clinton's fault. Why don't you just remember that you're an American and we're all trying to dig ourselves out of the same dung heap here, okay? We all got to swim in the same water, as Jake Giddes once said. You got to start pointing the finger blame. Clinton, is this it? Will you find a little bit of material to cram into the first hour of your show besides Clinton? The guy's gone. Gone! He's not the president anymore. He's not even the president of the Girl Scouts anymore. He ain't even the president of his own house anymore. He's just sitting there trying to pick cigarette butts out of the gutter, just like the rest of us, okay? Forget about Clinton. It ain't even about Bush. And it ain't about Daschle. And it's not about Lott. And it's not about all of that tired stuff that they want to jawjack. It's about a bunch of crooks. And it could happen to anybody. It could be a Republican, it could be a Democrat, it could be a Green Party, it could be a Blue Party, it could be a Communist, it could be a Capitalist. It can happen to anybody, it could be perpetrated by anybody. It's a bunch of scumbags that weren't raised, their mama took them off the nipple too soon, I don't know. You know, they didn't have the values that you and I were raised with, they're smarter than we are, maybe. Let me ask you a question, if you had a chance to get out the back door with $4 billion, would you do it? Huh? Chris is nodding his head. Craig's nodding his head. Janice is nodding her head. Well, I wouldn't. You're all three fired. Now get out. I wouldn't. And I know you wouldn't either. You're just saying that because you thought I needed a response. No, I wouldn't. I would not. You want to know why? Because I'd be afraid I'd get caught. No, I... No, there's got to be somewhere in the world that you draw a line and you say, this is where I'm going to live. This is the place I'm going to live, okay? I got to go to bed, at night, and I got to dream peaceful dreams. I got to get up in the morning and do the same thing, okay? I don't go to bed with no whore, and I don't wake up with no whore. Pretty nice, huh? Got that from Wall Street, Martin Sheen. Anyway, but today, no, not today. And by the way, they're telling us, well, this is just a small segment of American business community. The vast majority do business honestly. And I believe that, and I want to believe that, okay? It's just you're going to have to prove it to me now. I'm sorry, you're going to have to prove it to me because with the, who's next? WorldCom, Enron, Tyco, Global Crossing. I know I'm missing somebody. Somebody else who? Adelphia, yeah. Thank God I got satellite, like I said, just about this time last night. And by the way, that NFL channel is fantastic. They've got all the 15 greatest comebacks on the NFL channel this week. You got to check that out before camp opens. And then they also have the greatest all-time NFL team only on the NFL channel this week. And if you're not watching that, you got to be listening to me. Phil Hendry Show.